This is the Triangle's Afternoon News with Rick and Donna Martinez.
Well, we know that North Carolina once again will be a battleground state in the presidential election, but we've got a big-time gubernatorial race and all sorts of other key races on our ballot. So how are North Carolinians feeling at this point about what's going on in our state? Well, we're getting an indication from the latest poll from the folks at the Civitas Institute. Donald Bryson is president and CEO of Civitas, and he joins us now to talk about the results released this week. Donald, welcome. You know, Governor Cooper has really been, I think, in the public eye due to COVID-19 more than I can remember Roy Cooper ever during his many years of being on the political scene here in our state. And people have generally seemed to be favorable, give him good ratings about how he's done. And we see in the latest poll that he's got a high approval rating, but it is dropping. Tell us about that.
It is dropping. And first off, thanks for having me on WPTF today. It's always fun to be on with this audience and talk with the Martinez family. but in terms of Governor Cooper's approval rating, we're starting to see his approval numbers sort of continue a descent toward normalcy, is what I would call it, where back in April, we had him up at 70% in terms of approval rating, 24% for disapproval. Right now, his approval rating is 56%, which is still pretty nice for an incumbent governor in an election year. But his disapproval rating at 38% is the highest that we've ever polled it. And we're starting to see some shifts on there where people who have self-described as somewhat conservative have dropped off with their positive views of the governor. Unaffiliated voters, tellingly, have declined in their approval rating of the governor. They had a 67% approval rating of the governor back in late May. Now their approval rating is 53%, so that's a 14% drop. And then his approval rating in the Raleigh-Durham media market has dropped significantly, where it was 75% in late May, has now dropped to 60%.
That's really interesting because this particular market, at least politically, is a blue area. And when you see election results, so he's dropping here as well. But still, he's got that pretty high job approval rating. What are we seeing, if anything, that approval rating translate into the race for governor between the incumbent Cooper and our lieutenant governor, Dan Forrest?
Well, we're not really seeing Dan Forrest pick up votes. He's basically hovering in the high 30s, around 40% maybe. But he's not really picking up. But what we are seeing over time is Roy Cooper lose votes. There seems to be, I'm not saying in mass, but he's still at 49% to 39% over Dan Forrest. A 10-point lead is really nice in anybody's poll. But tellingly, for the first time, Governor Cooper failed to reach 50%. And so there are some voters on the margins out there that are starting to show some skepticism, and things I anticipate will tighten up some as we get closer on to November 3rd.
Donald, the other two big races in North Carolina, of course, are the president, given North Carolina is a battleground state, and then the hotly contested Cal Cunningham, Tom Tillis for the Senate seat. How are those two races panning out?
Well, in terms of the presidential race, we polled all five presidential candidates, which most people may not know, but there are five presidential candidates that will be on the ballot in North Carolina, not just Republicans and Democrats, but a Libertarian, a Green Party candidate, and a Constitution Party candidate. But in terms of Trump-Biden, we have just a razor-thin lead for Joe Biden at 45% to Donald Trump's 44%. While that does show Donald Trump down, if we take all of the polls that we've seen come out of North Carolina over the past couple of months from CBS and Marist and Quinnipiac and a lot of different places, we saw Joe Biden jump out to 4, 5, and even 7% leads in some of those polls. And so now we're starting to see a bounce back with Emerson and Rasmussen showing a slim lead for Donald Trump, and we only have him down by 1 point. So I think this shows Trump sort of bouncing back out of the trough that we saw in the doldrums of the summer. In terms of the U.S. Senate race that you asked about, Rick, we have Tom Tillis at 38%, Cal Cunningham at 48%. There is also a Libertarian and Constitution Party candidate, Shannon Bray and Kevin Hayes, in that race. They each take 2%. Again, this shows Tillis at 3 points down. We had him up by 2 points in our late May poll. My biggest concern, if I'm Tom Tillis looking at this, is that I'm a 6-year incumbent U.S. Senator, And I only have 38% of the vote, and 16% of people are still just undecided in the race.
Yeah, and there's a lot of advertising on behalf of Cal Cunningham and against Tom Tillis. I mean, I'm hearing it and seeing it everywhere. So it does seem to be panning out that national influence, national money into the states already pouring in. And according to these numbers, it could be having an effect on Tillis.
I think it absolutely is. What we're seeing in the crosstabs for both Trump and Tillis is that they're actually seeing declines in party loyalty, meaning that the Democrats, who already have a voter registration advantage in the state, they're historically have been and will continue to be for a while because the advantage is so great, they're just more registered Democrats than there are Republicans in the state. And so in order to win races, Republicans rely on a larger party loyalty advantage and taking away some Democrat votes. So right now, it looks like Democrats are more likely to vote for Joe Biden and Cal Cunningham than they are for Donald Trump, than Republicans are for Donald Trump and Tom Tillis.
You know, Donald, I thought it was interesting that you also asked several questions about issues and really cultural clashes, frankly, that we're having in our society right now. And you asked people their views of different things like the words law and order and defund the police and police officers in your community. When you look at the responses you got on that, how would you characterize what's happening in that culture class in our country over police and protests?
Well, I think generally speaking, voters are showing themselves in these lines of questions to be more thoughtful on issues of race and community and public safety and sort of synthesizing those things together than we give them credit for. We try to, when it gets to election years in particular, political observers try to put people in buckets, and I think that's very difficult. We asked people what they thought about the following slogan: law and order, Black Lives Matter, and again, I asked them about the slogan, not necessarily the organization, and then the term or slogan, defund the police. And law and order had a 65% favorability, had a solidly positive image across almost every demographic: Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated voters. Black Lives Matter also had high favorability at 58%, with 41% being very favorable. It's net favorable with Democrats at 67%, unaffiliated voters at 22%. It was net negative among Republicans, but still has a good favorability. But defund the police, and this was overwhelming to me, Donna, at 70% unfavorable, with a majority of people saying it was very unfavorable. The only people who had a net favorable rating for the term defund the police were self-described liberals, and that was plus 17%.
Well, it's a fascinating poll. The results are really interesting. I would encourage people to go to the website of the Civitas Institute. That is nccivitas.org, and you can read all the questions and all the crosstabs right there. Donald Bryson is president and CEO of the Civitas Institute. Thank you, Donald.
Thank you so much.